I'll stop recording. Okay, let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here again this evening to spend this time praying and reflect on your plans for your people, on your plans for us as well. Lord, we ask that you inspire us, that you give us understanding, help us to pray as we ought to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
So I just want to spend the next 15 minutes to give us a foundation of why I'm asking that we do well this 14 days to of vigil to start, then to give us the wider picture of why we need to like really spend time praying. I just want to say thank you to you all. I know that you've been, apart from the church prayers that we do, you guys have been coming on this journey on a weekly basis where we just intercede for the meetings and the church. Okay, so I have a number of points to make this evening, three main points really. But like I said, I just want to give us the basis for going forward. So for me, I consider this group to be the intercessory intercessory group for the church. And that's aside from the Sunday prayers that we do and the ones we do on Monday. So for me, this is the intercessory group because you guys have been on this journey with me for a while now in terms of prayer. Okay. So, one thing that God really impressed on my heart from the beginning of this year is that me personally, I have to now focus quite a lot more primarily on the ministry of the word and prayer. Yeah, so I know I understood what that meant, as in, okay, as a minister, I need to pray and and study the Bible and just really focus on sharing the word. But I just the well so like basically that. However, I think what now began to happen is just observing things going on and things like that. I had like another impression on my mind with regards to the extension of that ministry of the word and prayer going hand in hand. So that's what I just want to share with us tonight. Now, I want to make three points, but before I make those points, one thing that is, I mean, I've kind of like known, but not so strongly, is that for us as a church, or for any church, we need to realize and come to the realize where we need to realize that it's not, and apologies, I'm not, taking the pun here. We need to realize that it's not just about coming to church, people enjoying themselves on a Sunday, which is fantastic, us doing Bible study and me teaching or somebody else teaching so that people can just feel good about themselves, or so that people's lives can, I mean, that people can really know the Bible and all those things. So those things are important, but the truth of the matter is that we are fighting for the souls of men and women and children in our church. And it is so serious. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It is the most serious thing that is happening on the surface of this earth. So, what that means is this: the devil wants everybody to go to hell. We know that. For the people who have escaped from the hands of the devil and who are born again and who are in church, the devil wants to, he wants to ensure that they do not know Christ as they should know Christ. He wants to ensure that they just live aimless lives, using all sorts of things to just put pressure on people, put financial pressure on people so that they'll be distracted from the more eternal things, cause all kinds of all sorts of things. But his main purpose is to ensure that if he can't get people to help and they manage to escape that one, that they will never in his lifetime, that's what he wants to do, fulfill the destiny that God has called them to fulfill. So it's a constant battle for the souls of people, for the souls of the men in church, for the souls of the women in church, and for the souls of the children. It is serious business. And one thing I say is this, I think I can speak freely here. If I'm just talking about parenting, talking about women, if an individual, there's a portion of scripture, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, if I remember correctly, it says that, I think 1 Peter or 2 Peter, I will double check that. And let me actually check so I don't run. So 2 Peter, yes, 2 Peter, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says his divine power has given, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. So that portion of scripture says that Jesus has given us, we have two main mandates in this world for every believer. One, life, and the other, godliness. So life is all our earthly pursuits, your career, your job, looking after your kids, all these things that have to do with life. And there is godliness. The godliness part has to do with the destiny that God has put in the spirit of every man, woman, boy, and girl to fulfill. As he says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, where he told Jeremiah that before you were formed, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. So before Jeremiah's parents even came together to give birth to him or to conceive him, God had prepared that this particular spirit that is going to go into this womb, this guy is a prophet. So that's the part that has to do with life and godliness. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 is saying for life, all our pursuits, and for godliness, the destiny God has ordained for every individual to fulfill on this earth. Now, it will be one of the saddest things, and I pray that this never happens to anyone in our church. It will be such a tragic event when, if not when, if someone, you're born again, and all you can think of is that, okay, I had a good job, which is great. I did this, but that individual neglects the spiritual part of their life. The Bible says they will enter heaven, but it will be like with fire scathing their clothes. So they will enter heaven as because they're born again, but it will be so tragic when we have to face, stand in front of Christ, and Paul is there, Silas is there, all these people are there saying that they have fulfilled their own destiny. And there's an individual who is dead. And the only thing that person has to show for it is I built three houses. I was an IT guy. I was this. It would be laughable and very tragic. Now, I'm speaking like this because of the intent, because of the weight of this thing. It's not a joke at all. So when I see people as a pastor, I see people were telling them, oh, come to church, get involved, and they're just loafing. They're saying, oh, I don't have time. It really hurts my heart because I'm like, huh, God, can these people even understand what the opportunities we're providing? Do you get what I mean? You see people, they just put God on one side. They're born again, no problem. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how people do it, but I see a lot. And it'll be so tragic. But that will never be the portion of anybody in our own church in Jesus' name. So it's not a game. It's not a game at all. The devil wants to kill people. He wants to ensure that he steals, he destroys their lives. He wants to destroy the lives of the children and the church. He wants them to go astray. He wants husbands to be loafers and just be kidding around the place. He wants wives to be loafers as well. All sorts of pressures. Now, the reason why I'm painting this picture is this, so that when I'm asking us to join into the ministry of intercession, which I'm going to talk about, we know that we're not playing games here. We know that this is the lives of everybody God has brought into our care as a church. It is serious. It is really, really, really serious business. And people are just walking about oblivious of what's happening, but that's what it is. Now, that's the background that I'm painting. I just want us to know the seriousness of this thing. There are times that maybe people just say, okay, let's pray for the church. I mean, yeah, we should pray, but it's the devil wants to really finish people. But Jesus has kept us. We have our own parts to play as well. All right, so apologies if I'm sounding so what's that word? So intense. But I need to just let us know how it is so that we understand why we're doing what we're doing. We understand why we're depriving ourselves of sleep in the night when everybody is sleeping. So we know that there's a reason for it. Now, a number of things to highlight here. So coming back to the ministry of the word and prayer. Now, all the things we do in church are great. All the structures we're trying to put in place, follow up, the choir singing, bring worship, all these things. God wants us to have these things as systems so that when people come, they can fit into the church. We have a way of outreach. We have like systems in place. So that's necessary. But on those systems, it has to be what will sit on those systems are the ministry of the word and prayer. Without the ministry of the word and prayer, it will not work. People might turn up in church, join choir, join all these things and be happy, but their lives might not just, I'm not saying will, their lives might not just be the way God wants them to be. So, what am I saying here? I'm saying that we are fighting for the souls of everybody in CFT Bristol, everybody that God has ordained for us as a church who have not come yet. And that as they come, and as we snatch them from the hands of the devil with the grace of God on our lives and with the preaching of the word, that we know what we're doing with them. So, saying that as the background, I just want to make 3 points, then we'll begin to pray. So the first one is the ministry of the word, which is what we do. We teach on Sundays, we do the Bible study. I want to do like another set of studies. I'm not quite sure. I mean, like what I've called foundational Christian faith. So the word is important. It is super important because that's what gives us faith. That's what really, turns our understanding. And we're able to grow. So that's the first one, the ministry of the word. Now, there is the ministry of prayer and intercession, which is the second one I'll discuss. So, for the ministry of the word, we need to realize that anything or anywhere that people will sit under the word. Undistracted, Satan will not want them to go there. Now, if you're at home, you're watching YouTube, you're watching teaching on YouTube and all that, you can just put your headphones on, go to the kitchen, cook, listen to it off and on, which is great. But when you enter a church building on a Sunday morning and you sit down, you can't go to your kitchen while the preacher is preaching. You're sitting there and you're listening because obviously everybody is listening. Satan doesn't want people to go to church to listen to the word that will transform their lives. I'm saying that for a reason, and I'll explain one or two things after that. So there is the ministry of the word. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 13 that the goat sower goes out to sow the seed. The first thing Satan does, as the Bible says in that portion of scripture, is to try to remove the word that is sown in people's hearts so that they don't understand. If he can't remove it straight away, he will bring persecution to remove the word. If persecution doesn't work, he will bring the deceitfulness of riches and all these things to destroy, to make sure that that word doesn't happen in the lives of that individual. So there is a big fight against the word because it's the word that can change people. So when people don't turn up to church on a Sunday or they don't log on online, even though they can from home, they're being robbed of what should actually strengthen them. So that's the ministry of the word that changes people. The second one is intercession. And for that one, three things that we need to be aware of why we need to pray. Seriously, we've been praying, but to ramp that up, or let me just say why I'm inviting you all to join me in this prayer journey. Yeah, I don't say us to pray, I'll say I'm inviting us, inviting you guys to join me. So there are three things that we want to pray about, and I'll explain the reason why. The first reason why we need to pray is to release the people that God has ordained for us as a church. Now, there's a scripture that we read, which is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, this is what Isaiah said, the son of Amos. It says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream into it. It says, many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we see that this is God's promise to us. He wants to draw people to the church. And I think for us as CFT and CFT Bristol, this is a word that we pray all the time because this is something that God has spoken to us. But let me go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17. I'm looking at the first reason why we must really pray to really to regarding the people God has apportioned to us who have not come yet. And Isaiah 14, 17, as I was describing Satan, it says, this is the man who made the world a wilderness, looking at Satan at the end. He says, who overthrew its cities and will not let his captives go home. Satan will not let people go free without a fight. He will not. That's what Isaiah says. He will keep them captive till they die if he can do that. Then we also know the scripture that that says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, that if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and display the glory of Christ. Again, we see Satan is the one that doesn't want people to be saved or to go to any church whatsoever. Then we also see from Isaiah chapter 49 and 24 to 26. And this is just describing this guy. It says, shall the prey be taken from the captive, from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? People are prey to Satan. This Bible describes him as the mighty, and he will keep people captive. But the God, Lord says, but thus says, Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. I will contend with him that contends with you. I will save your children. So God says this guy has captives, and he does not want them to go, as it says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 17. So our intercession and our prayer is God says he will contend with him. But he needs us to enforce the victory that he has placed. We're the ones that need to use the word of God to destroy the hold of Satan over the lives of the people that God has sent to us, wherever they are in Bristol or wherever they are. So the first thing is we pray to release these people that God has sent to us as a church. And we will, and they will come. We need to pray seriously about that, as we've been doing. Three things why we're praying, and which around the ministry of prayer. The second thing is this: when people now, they manage to just slip the hands of the devil and they turn up in church. There's another scripture as well that the Bible talks about in Psalm 92. It says, "Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." It says, "They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." So the other thing we now see here as well is that the second thing why we need to also pray is when people come, Satan doesn't want them to be planted in the house of the Lord. He wants them to just be moving and to be flowing like spirits from one church to the other, or just not really being able to be established. So we also pray that people will be established, that when they come to church, we will follow them up. We'll do all those things that we need to do, but we need to pray that they will be established. It says they will bear fruit in old age. So people should be in a church till they grow old, and they will flourish, not be in this church for 2 weeks, not in church for another 10 months. No. So the second thing is that we need to pray that God will establish the people that he has brought or that he's going to be bringing as well. Then the last one, which is one that is quite important as well amongst the other ones, is from Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Paul was saying this in Galatians chapter 19. He now goes to Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So the last thing is this: even when people are in church as they are now, we pray, God brings them, we pray they're established, but that's not enough. Paul was saying here that he had to wrestle in prayer, and he referred to another brother in the Bible, Epaphras. He said, wrestling for them in prayer so that they can stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So we see from Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, that teaching people in church as we do is great, but it doesn't appear that that's enough. Paul says he still had to be praying that they will stand firm in Christ till Christ will be formed in them. So when we see people in church just floating, they're neither here or there, you tell them join departments, they're just there, tell them, what's God saying about it, is not anybody's fault. We have to pray that people be formed in Christ. So we will teach, but it doesn't seem like teaching alone will do the job. It doesn't seem like follow-up alone will do the job. So Galatians 4:19 and Colossians 4, 12 tells us that it requires serious prayer till people are formed in Christ. So in closing, I know I said I was going to spend 15 minutes, but I guess I'm going to spend like 30 minutes, but I just want us to get the gist of the whole thing. So I've said that we need to pray. We have to focus on the ministry of the word and prayer. Prayer being very important. So prayer to ensure that people are released from the clutches of the devil. Prayer so that people will stay in church when they come. And prayer, thirdly, that even the people are in church, when they stay, that Christ is formed in them. Teaching alone will not do the job, it appears. So in rounding up, why are we stressing ourselves with all this? Why am I asking that we need to like spend more time praying? Why is God impressing it on my heart that I, as a shepherd, I have to really focus on prayer? Is all these things that I've read for you. And the last thing is why? Well, simple. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. because we want to ensure to the best of our ability that everyone that comes across our path as a church, that we pray for them, we teach them that Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, and Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 happens in their lives. So that when we meet all these people in heaven, they can be like, Kai, I thank you. Because God will show everybody everything that everybody has been doing on their behalf. So they'll be like, wow, I didn't even understand what was happening, but you guys prayed till I became established in Christ. You guys prayed to ensure that the devil didn't catch me. Do you get what I mean? So I'm going to end here and I'll stop recording. But instead of us just starting to pray straight away, I thought, well, let me really share what's on my heart. It seems like I'm just so hard on this prayer business. Because for me personally, this is what God has asked me to do as a shepherd of CFT Bristol Church. And so I'm just inviting you guys to come along with me on this journey. But I just want to let us know why this journey is so important, this journey of prayer. Why, when I'm asking, oh, let's just gather and pray, so you guys know what's really driving all these things in my mind. So this is it. It is serious business, and we are fighting for the souls of men, women, and children, that God will be established in their lives. And for the ones that are still under the clutches of the devil, that we will snatch them away with the help of God, establish them and deliver them to God with their destinies fulfilled. Amen. I'm going to stop the recording now and we will just begin to pray.